it is God's will that we give thanks to God in everything. Say everything. That is His will. And, you know, I just got to mention something here. If you have your Bibles, go to Exodus 3 for just a minute. And I just want to expound just for a minute on what Pastor Fiona was saying. I want you to look in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 10. This is where God appears in the burning bush. The bush was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And that got Moses' attention. You know, just think about it. What does God have to do to get your attention? For Moses, he had to set a bush on fire that wasn't consumed. And Moses said, well, I think I'm going to look at that. Okay? Listen, God knows how to get your attention. And he said to Moses in verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. What did God want Moses to do? To go to Egypt, go before Pharaoh, and bring God's people out. Okay? Verse 11, Moses' response. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? Do you know why he left Egypt? Because he killed a person. He would have been on Egypt's most wanted list. You would have seen his picture at the Egyptian post office. So, first of all, God just said, I want you to go. And Moses said, who am I that I should go? Verse 12. And he said, certainly I will be with you. Well, that's encouraging, isn't it? To know that God is with you. And this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. If God says to you, I am, it doesn't matter what the question is. The answer is, I am. Whether you need strength, peace, provision, joy, help, I am. Okay? And God told Israel, or told Moses some other things. And he told him to go and gather the elders. And verse 18, God says that they shall hearken unto your voice. And you shall come, and the elders of Israel, and chapter 4, verse 1, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. What's he doing? He's not believing what God just said. God just said, I'm going to be with you. God said, I want you to go. God said, I'm going to make everything possible. But Moses is not believing God. Okay? And just to make a long story short, we know that God gets angry at Moses, right? Because God answered every one of Moses' excuses, and he kept making excuses. Guess what? There are no excuses for you either. God has an answer for every one of your excuses as to why you don't believe him. So you know what? You might as well just believe God. It's harder to fight against God than it is to work with God. Amen? So make up your mind to believe God. Well, we're developing a grateful heart. You know, I said this a couple weeks ago, but an ungrateful man is like a hog under a tree eating acorns, but never looking up to see where they come from. Right? And and this was a youth pastor. His name was Brian Robles. Stop thinking gratitude as a byproduct of your circumstances and start thinking of it as a worldview. Listen, having a grateful heart is not based on the circumstances you find yourself in. It is based on who God is and what God has done. And we've been developing this, right? We've looked at people who were thankful. Did you know that gratefulness puts you in the right direction? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 14. This phrase really captures what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto who? Let's just say that. Say, now thanks be unto God. When you're faced with a difficult situation, a trouble, a trial, a test, or a temptation, you know what your response should be? Now, thanks be unto God. Take a moment and give God thanks before you ever go to the battle. You know, you're more likely to win the battle if you go there with a grateful heart than you are with an ungrateful heart. You know, a lot of times, by faith, we can thank God ahead of time. David, I'm sure that he showed up to face Goliath with a grateful heart. And he was confident that, because he knew that God was going to be the one to give him the victory. Let's read on. Now thanks be unto God, which, how often? Always. Causes us to triumph in Christ. Now, is it good to triumph? That means to get the victory. How often does God want you to win? Always. You were created after the image and the likeness of the winner. You have winning DNA flowing through your body. And it's because of God. It's His goodness. It's His mercy. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Do you imagine if you said that 10 times a day for 10 days? Would that boost your confidence? See, thanksgiving puts you in the right direction. It causes you to go in the right way. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, notice, in Christ. So what if you're not in Christ? Then you're going to suffer defeat. Because victory is found in Christ. If it was raining outside and you didn't have an umbrella, where would you stay dry? You'd have to be in the building or in your car to be dry. If you got out into the rain, what's going to happen? You get wet. When we get out of Christ, we suffer defeat. Because victory is only in Christ. And makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor in Christ. Did you know that whether you have cologne on or not, you smell good to God if you're in Christ? Amen. When you're in Christ, the stench of sin leaves you. And you are a sweet savor to God. And God likes to savor the flavor. Okay? For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. You know, it's a relief to have a fireman come to your house if your house is on fire and you're trapped inside. He comes in with his mask on, he breaks down the door, and he takes you out. That's going to bring some relief. That's what he's talking about. We have relief in Christ. To the other one, to the one we are the savior of death unto death, and to the other the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as sincerity, but as of God in the right, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. You know, to some people, they're going to be terrified of you because you represent Christ. Not everybody in this world is excited about Christ. You know, there were people that wanted to kill Jesus. There were people that left Jesus's, they stopped following Jesus. And there are people today that stopped following Jesus. The key to staying with Jesus is having a grateful heart and giving thanks to God in everything. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. What we're going to do is we're going to cover number one in just a moment. I'm going to cover number one today last, because that's like the climax, the point that we want to get to today. Romans chapter 6. Verse 17, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Notice, he starts off by saying, but God be thanked. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be free from the bondage of sin? And now to be able to serve Christ free, you are free to move about this world to serve Christ. You know, if we had the no seatbelt sign off, right? Then you're free to move about the cabin, right? You are free to serve Christ. In other words, when you come to Christ, he removes every hindrance and every barrier and every enemy to prevent you from serving someone else. You now can you can freely serve Christ. And it's all because of God, what he did through Christ Jesus. God came up with this plan that he was going to send his only son to take your place of punishment, to take your pain. And in exchange for your punishment and pain, he's going to give you eternal life. He's going to give you supernatural peace. He's going to give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's going to give you a love that never fades. We have to get excited about God. This all relates to being thankful. There is such a power in being a thankful person, having a grateful heart. Sometimes, do you know that when you came to Christ, you were out of practice of giving thanks to God? Oh, you thanked people for the nice things that they did. But before Christ, you were out of practice thanking God. You thought that the source of good things came from you or someone else. But when you come to Christ, you discover that God is the source of all good things. All good and perfect things come down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variance or no shadow of turning. You realize now that you're in Christ that God is the source of all good things, and when you have God, you can be thankful no matter what. You can be thankful when your brothers sell you into slavery and throw you in a pit and lie to your father and say that you've been dead. You can be thankful when your son takes his inheritance and he goes his way and you know that he's only going to end up destroying himself. But you can be thankful to God knowing that someday he's going to return home. You can be thankful because the destructiveness of sin has been stopped in your life. Do you realize that because of Christ, sin's destructive power is stopped in your life? Sin cannot grab a hold of you anymore unless you let it. Now, does that mean you'll never make a mistake? No, it doesn't. You don't have to, but guess what? We will, because we live in a human body, and every once in a while, our flesh gets out of control because we allow it. Amen? But gratefulness. Go with me to Acts 28. Acts 28. Did you know that thankfulness will develop courage in you? Thankfulness will give you a courageous heart. Acts 28. And let's look at verse 15. And from there, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as whatever that place is. And the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God, and what? Thankfulness will produce courage. Why? Because when you're thankful, it puts your perspective on God, and it takes your perspective off of whatever it was focused on. And when your perspective is on God, it will put courage in your heart. It will give you the ability to stand. It will cause intestinal fortitude to develop on the inside of you, because God gives strength to his people. God is strong and mighty, and he will give his strength with you. So courage came to Paul when he gave thanks. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Paul didn't have to go to a prison. He was under house arrest. Why? Because he was thankful. He knew where his victory came from. It came from God. Listen, we all face tests. We all have challenges in life. But the quicker you become grateful to God, the quicker you will overcome that challenge. The quicker you will cause that mountain that stands in between you and the finish line will be removed from your way. And once the mountain is removed, then you have free passage to cross that finish line. But it is the art and the heart of gratefulness. You know, artists have skill. There was some skill that went into painting the Sistine Chapel. There's some skill when you take a piece of marble or a piece of wood and you cut it and you chisel it and you cut it to make a shape. And there is a skill to having a thankful heart. Because there's too many things in this world that tempts you not to have a thankful heart. This world that we live in is overwhelmed with negativity. And it's very easy for any person to get their eyes on the wrong thing and to take their eyes off Jesus. It's very easy. That's, you know, God said in his word, we have to guard our hearts. You can't just, listen, you don't, if you're in the midst of negativity, you don't have to participate in it. How many know the story of Joshua and Caleb? They were 2 out of 12 spies that were sent into the land of Canaan for 40 days. And they saw what the other 10 saw. They saw the land, they saw the walled cities, and they saw the giants. But when they came back, they had a different perspective. Only Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to take the land. But the other 10 said, boy, Elliot, I'll tell you what, there are giants in there. You should see those big guys. those walled cities, we can't go in. Well, their negative report of the 10 infected the whole bunch. Now, here's my point. How long did Joshua and Caleb live in midst of negativity? 40 years, because he had to kill a they spent 40 years in the wilderness, right? So for 40 years, Joshua and Caleb were in the midst of harsh negativity. Not only that, there was sorrow. You're talking about having a funeral every single day. A minimum of about 40 funerals a day. Everybody crying, everybody weeping, everybody complaining. And Joshua and Caleb had to live in the midst of that, but they did not participate with that. How do we know? Because when Caleb was 80, he said, I'm as strong now as what I was when I was 40. So for 40 years, he kept the faith. For 40 years, he kept himself encouraged in the Lord. For 40 years, he was walking with God, even though not many of his friends were. And when he was 80, he said, you see that mountain over there? Moses gave me that mountain. I'm going to take it. You know who was on that mountain? There were giants on the mountain. But when Caleb got on that mountain, he threw the giants off. See, you've got to make a decision. Are you going to keep the faith? Are you going to keep walking with God if you're the only one? See, walking with God is not a popularity contest. Walking with God is a one-on-one relationship that every person has to decide. Every person can choose. You can choose to walk with God or you can choose to not walk with God. You can choose to believe God or you can choose to doubt. It is your choice. You are responsible for your choices. But there was Joshua and Caleb. Who got to go in to the promised land? Joshua and Caleb. They were, you talk about negativity. You know, they would see a miracle one day. You know, they complained about, they were tired of this light bread. They said, we want meat. So God sent quails about this high into the camp. And he said, I'm going to send them so much meat, they're going to get sick of it. You know, be careful what you ask for. Amen? But yet Joshua and Caleb, they didn't participate in the negativity that they were in. And I'm sure that they had grateful hearts. Because the Bible said that Caleb had a different spirit. Do you have a different spirit? You are, the standard that we follow is Jesus Christ. I'm not to compare myself with Tony or Caleb. If I was to base my life on them, I'd be sinning because they're not my standard and I'm not their standard. Jesus is the only standard. How do you line up with Jesus? How do you follow Jesus? How do you please Jesus? That's the only thing that matters. Because Paul got a courageous heart, and he was under house arrest. Verse 17, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said to them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem unto the hands of the Romans. Doesn't sound like he's complaining, does it? And verse 18, who when they had examined me would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me, but when the Jews spoke against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar, not that I had ought to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said to him, we neither received letters out of Judea, concerning you, neither any of the brethren that came or showed or spoke any harm of you. But we desire to hear of them what you think. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And there was a group of Jews that committed that Paul was going to die. Everywhere that he had a meeting, they showed up to stir up strife. You know you have a good day in the Lord when you have a traveling hit squad of Jews. You know? Thank God we don't have people here in VCF wanting to come and kill me. Because they can't, because my time isn't up yet, and I have the victory. Thanks be unto God, he always causes me to triumph. Amen? So, you know, gratefulness has a voice. Go to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. There is a voice. You got to add voice to your thanksgiving. Psalm 50, verse 14. Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay your vows unto the Most High. That just means keep your promises. Go down to verse 23. Whoso offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation right, I will show the salvation of God. And go to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Start with verse 17. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. What is the sacrifice of thanksgiving? Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. It tells us what the sacrifice of thanksgiving is. Hebrews 13, 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Say it again. How often? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to what? To his name. So the sacrifice of thanksgiving is you using your mouth. So thanksgiving has a voice. And God wants to hear your voice. When he hears you giving thanks, his power is readily available to you. When he hears thanksgiving, it's like music to God's ears. It touches his heart. And we've got to give voice to our thanksgiving. Don't let your thanksgiving be silent. Amen? We don't believe in silent prayers. One time someone went to the church, and the minister said, "Let us offer a silent prayer." And the devil said, "Amen." Prayers were meant to be voiced, right? You know, could you see Jesus going before Lazarus' tomb and just standing there and not saying anything? People be like, "What is he doing?" No, he opened up his mouth, didn't he? When you're here to praise the Lord, you should open up your mouth. "Well, people, I don't know if people like my voice." Listen, the Lord loves your voice. If you're worried about what people think, that's the wrong motive. I mean, really, who cares what people think? You know, when I was out of high school, I dressed a little crazy. I found this outfit. It was inside out jeans and an inside out denim shirt. It was made on purpose, inside out. No one that I knew had something like that. You know, I used to have a pair of red pants and red socks. And then I had a pair of, many of you don't know this, but when it was cool, when breakdancing was cool, I taught myself how to breakdance. I had parachute pants. I had shiny tennis shoes. You know, there was a time in my life, I used to have a ponytail. It was before I went to Rhema. See, now my brother-in-law, he was losing his hair. So I couldn't have long hair when I went to Rhema. So I cut off my ponytail. I put it in a box and I wrapped it up and I gave it to my brother-in-law as a gift. And he opened it. He said, "Oh, thank you." He's from New Zealand, so he has a British accent. Have no idea why I just said those things, but yes, amen. Because I didn't care what people thought. You know, when you finish your life, you're not going to stand before people. None of your peers are going to be there. There's only one person qualified to judge us, and that is Jesus. And God put all authority and all power in him. So you should be concerned about whether or not what you do is pleasing to him. Amen? So I want you to be free to express yourself to God. You know, we need some barn burners here. You know what I mean by a barn burner? Where people are literally laid out on the floor. I've been in meetings where the minister would walk by the row. He would just walk by and the whole row would fall like dominoes. I know, because some of those people landed on me. If you don't believe me, read the Gospel of John. When the soldiers came and said, "Are you the one whom we should come for?" And Jesus said, "I am." And the whole group of soldiers fell and hit the ground. Because there is something to the power of God. The power of God is a tangible, wonderful thing. Amen? And believe me, if it's God, you won't hurt yourself. But we've got to express ourselves to God. So let's go to some reasons. What are some reasons that we should be grateful to God? This is the exciting part. I'm only going to take the book of Ephesians. And we're going to go to the book of Ephesians because I only used one book. God is so exciting and so awesome that if we went through this, it'd take us all day long. But I don't have all day long. I have a few moments. And I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians. And I just want to share some reasons why we should be grateful to God. Number one, we should be grateful to God because of the relation that we stand in God. God gives you a position with benefits. Your position is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, say, I'm a saint. You're a saint. You're a consecrated one. And you're faithful, you're loyal, and you're steadfast in Christ. Aren't you glad that you can be a saint now and you don't have to die for someone to name you a saint? Jesus already made you a saint. I'm a saint. I don't care what your family thinks. You're a saint. There's no such thing as black sheep. I'm a white sheep. I've been made white by the blood of Jesus. All my blackness has been washed away. Verse 2. Grace be to who? And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives you grace and peace are yours. Now that peace is harmony with God. because of what Jesus Christ has done, you and God can have a relationship again. Adam lost it, Jesus recovered it, and now it's yours. You can walk with God. You can talk with God. He can be involved in your life. God gave you grace and peace. You know what's interesting of that word peace? It means uninterrupted, untouched. You're composed. You're not worried. You're free from anxiety. Man, some of you can be free from anxiety. You can give up worrying because you don't have to worry anymore. You can be free from it. Amen. Worry doesn't add, doesn't make you taller. It doesn't make you smarter. So you might as well just give it up. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed who? Us. With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many blessings did God give you? You have access to every blessing. All the blessings of Abraham are mine, because cursed is him who hangs on a tree, and we are redeemed from the curse of the law so that the blessings of Abraham can come on us. Galatians 3:13. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's not a blessing that God forgot. There's not a blessing he didn't include in his benefit package. You have access to every one of God's benefits, every one of God's blessings. They are yours, so you might as well take hold of them. Start possessing them. Start walking in them. These are reasons to give thanks to God. I might get so thankful, I'm going to have to run around this building. It's getting on me. Now, in the Greek, all the way to verse 14 is all one statement. It's an extended expression of praise to God for what he has done for humanity by means of Christ. The word blessed be God, it means to praise him. It means that God is blessed, or he is to be blessed. Look at verse 4. According as he has chosen who? He chose you in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. He chose you before him, and you're to be holy without blame, and you're supposed to live above reproach. He didn't take the fire out of you. He took you out of the fire, and he put a fire in you. And he wants you to burn. Get on fire for God, and people will come watch you burn. Get excited about Jesus. Go tell your unsaved loved ones. Say, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. If you put a happy face on it, they're going to listen to you. Jump up and down. Get excited. These are reasons why we should thank God. As I was putting this list together, oh my goodness. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Now notice this. This is incredible. You have been predestined. In other words, before you were born, part of your destiny was to be God's child. God has destined every person on this planet to be his child. And he adopted you. That means he chose you. You weren't an accident. You weren't an oops. You were chosen. He chose you to be adopted, to be engrafted into his family. Because those who are adopted get the same benefits as those who are born. Hallelujah. He chose you according to the purpose of his will. He's got a purpose for you. You're included in his will. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt you into his own family. And he brings you in through Jesus Christ. You can't get into the family any other way. You can't buy your way in. You can't work your way in. You can't be good enough to get in. You can only come in through faith in Jesus Christ. Any other way, you're a thief and a robber. In other words, he marked you beforehand for adoption. He stamped you. He stamped you when you were in heaven. He had a plan for you, and he used your parents to bring you to this earth. I don't care how you got here through your parents. Praise God, he used your parents, and you're here now, and he's got a plan for you, so you might as well walk in it. You might as well do what God wants you to do. You're here now. You're not just here to take up space or oxygen. Do what God wants you to do with your life. Step out by faith. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Oh my goodness, you have redemption, deliverance, and salvation through his blood. If that doesn't cause you to give thanks, you need to be resurrected. Your sins and offenses have been forgiven. He has forgiven you according to his gracious favor. Yeah, but I made a mistake yesterday. Well, receive forgiveness now. Beloved, when you sin, confess your sins, and he is faithful to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There is no temptation taken to man that is uncommon to man that the Lord will not leave a way of escape. There is always a way out. Listen, Jesus knows he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He resisted sin. Thank God he did, because he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Only a pure, spotless lamb's blood could cleanse our sin away. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will. Listen, if it's been made known to you, is it a mystery to you anymore? You know, people say, well, God works in mysterious ways. Yeah, but he reveals the mystery to you, so no, it's no longer mysterious. He makes known to you the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure. Do you realize God has good pleasure in you doing his will? God gets excited about the plan that he has. He's had plans. He has thoughts. He has unctions about you. He lavishes love on you. And there's nothing that you can't overcome through him. Goodness. His will and purpose for you are his good pleasure. Say good pleasure. God has good pleasure in you. Say God has good pleasure in me. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Oh my goodness. He's going to gather everything in one in Christ. Now the world, Satan is moving towards a one world government and a one world religion. But the true king, he is the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the King of glory. Hallelujah. Yeah, the devil will try to set up his kingdom, but his kingdom's going to fail because a house divided against itself will not stand. But there's going to come the true king. He's going to split open the sky, and he's going to return again in glory and in power, and the world is going to see it, and he's going to destroy the devil. He's going to take him by the neck and throw him in the lake of fire. And he's going to reign forever and ever and ever, and we're going to reign with him. That is, if you walk with him to the end. This is not a time to quit. This is a time to intensify. This is a time to crank up the heat, to stir up the passion, to stir up those gifts that are within you. Verse 11. Now this got me really excited. In whom also we have obtained. Not going to, not will, have already obtained, past tense. An inheritance. Woo! I love that word. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Say, I have an inheritance. You have obtained an inheritance. God included you in his will. You have a legal right to take possession of what he promised you. If you have a legal right to do something, why are you so timid about doing it? Well, I don't know if this is his will. You can find out if it is or not. Or you can ask the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit wrote the book. He said, I'll never tell you anything that God hasn't told me. You can either look in the book or ask the Holy Spirit. You got no excuse as to what. Let me put it this way. Because God has given you his written word and he's given you his spoken word, there should be no doubt about what his will is. Here's what happens sometimes. People don't take time to find out what God's will is, and they just go ahead and do it what they think. How many has ever done something like a tradition or something and you realize it wasn't in the Bible? You mean I've been doing that for years and that's not in the Bible? If it's not in the Bible and you're doing it, what should you do? Stop. That's right. We're only going to get through chapter 1. I can guarantee you that. We're almost to the part here. Oh my goodness. Verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You say, I have God's stamp of approval on me. I am a child of God. I am positioned in Christ. I'm a winner. I'm victorious. I'm a champion. I can keep my joy no matter what happens in life, because God gives me my joy. Amen. I think we're getting it. So, the word of truth that you hear and believe causes you to be sealed with the Holy Spirit. You've got to hear it and you've got to believe it. And if you believe it, that means you do it. Don't tell me you're not, don't sit there and don't do what God says and tell me you believe it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. If you really believe something, you will do it. If you don't believe it, you won't. You mean it's that simple? Absolutely. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Okay, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of your inheritance. Do you realize we only have a part of our inheritance right now? When you put a guarantee, some of you When you purchased a home, you put a guarantee, a down payment. A down payment is not the full price, but the down payment gives you access. It gets the process going. Amen? And you borrow the rest. You put a down payment on, they give you credit, and you make payments until that debt is paid. I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit, he's the guarantee of our inheritance. We have not yet received our full inheritance, because part of your inheritance is a glorified body. Part of your inheritance is to be like Jesus when he comes again. Part of your inheritance is to be able to appear when the doors are shut. That's, amen? Part of your inheritance is to get into your mansion that Jesus has been preparing for you in heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. But he told us, so he's preparing a place for you. To your liking, to your design, you're going to have a place that excites you. A custom-built home in heaven. That's an inheritance that we haven't gotten yet. We just have a, man, if we can do what we can do with a portion of our inheritance, what can we do with the whole thing? You are unstoppable. Verse 14 tells us, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. When he comes again, this corruption is going to put on incorruption. Hallelujah. We're going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. Hallelujah. I mean, if these things don't make you grateful, like I said, you need to be resurrected. We need to have a resurrection party. In other words, God put his stamp of ownership on you. To be a peculiar person means he owns you. But you know what? God is not a harsh slave master. He's not a dictator. He's the glory and the lifter of your head. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. I mean, he is love. There was a verse here talked about being seated with Christ. Yes. Notice this, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And we are seated with Christ. Amen? Think about it. I thought about it this way. There's another verse there. It's in the ages to come, God is going to display his grace for you. So you got to get this picture now. And I'm closing with this. You're seated with Christ. Let's make this Christ. All right? And you're seated with him because why? You're a joint heir with who? What he gets, you get. So you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. In other words, think of it this way. He's given you a front row seat for the greatest show in the universe. That show is God displaying his grace. Do you realize that God is so good? He is so great, it's going to take ages to come to show us how good he really is. Because all we see now is we look through a glass and we see darkly. We see a glimpse of what it really is. Amen? Even Moses, all he could see was part of God's glory. He couldn't see the full thing because God said, if you see the full thing, it will destroy you because you don't have a glorified body. if you were to see the full glory of God right now, we'd all blow up. But it's going to take ages for God to show us how good he is. Age after age after age, and we're going to have a front row seat. We're going to be looking from the throne room of heaven. We're going to be seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we're going to look as this show unfolds, and we're going to get to see how great God really is. We're going to be like the spies. God, you really are like you said you were. What you said about yourself is true. What you said about yourself is real. And we're going to be sitting there in the grandstands of heaven. Oh, praise God. You know, oh, my goodness. Go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Did you know that you got some people cheering you on right now? Amen. Hebrews 12, 1. Wherefore, seeing, how many, you know what? Elisha saw what his servant couldn't see. All his servant saw was the problem. These men are surrounding us, Elisha. Oh, Lord, open his eyes. And when the servant's eyes were open, he looked round about, and there were horses of fiery chariots all around Elisha. Elisha saw what his servant couldn't see. You got to get this picture. Wherefore, seeing, are you seeing? Are you seeing? Are your eyes open? We also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight. When you get a glimpse of the people who are cheering you on, you're going to want to run your race. You're going to want to put aside every weight that's easily beset you. You're going to put away the sin. You're going to put away the mistakes, and you're going to go full bore following Jesus. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. You got to look to Jesus. Don't look to man. Don't look to your family. Doesn't mean that your family's not important. Listen, your family can do what it can do, but it's limited, but God is unlimited. Looking. Does that word looking ever tell you when to stop looking? Uh-uh. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. Listen, some of your faith books are not finished yet. In order for Jesus to finish the book, you've got to run your race. And the only way you're going to win that race is looking to Jesus. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. When Jesus was looking to the cross, what did he see? He saw you and I being redeemed. He saw you and I having access to the Father. He saw you and I he saw the temple being torn, that we have access into the Holy of Holies. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. Let me go back to Ephesians for just a minute, and then I'm going to close. Find where I'm looking here. So before the foundation of the world, you were chosen to be holy. Each one of you have been given an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Listen, There are so many benefits. You know, God's promises. 1 Corinthians 2, it says, all of God's promises are yes and amen. That word amen means so be it. Say, God's promises are yes. What does that mean? What God promised, he will do, he's able to do, he wants to do. He will do, he's able to do, he wants to do. But God's promises are not automatic. You've got to believe. And there's not one word that God ever speaks to a person that will not be fulfilled to the person who believes it. See, when you believe it, you latch on to what he says and you make it yours. You are who God said you are. Say, I'm forgiven. Say, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm redeemed. Say, I'm loved. Say, I'm accepted. Say, I have a purpose. Say, I'm a child of God. There's nothing I can't do. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I have an inheritance. It's mine. In Jesus' name. Now, with all these things, we ought to find something to be grateful for. There's no excuse to allow any ungratefulness in your heart. You know, heaven and earth, they're going to pass away. The world that you see, it's going to pass away. Cars rust. The stock market goes up, the stock market goes down. Things change. People change. But there's one thing that never changes. There's one thing that has an eternal guarantee, and that is the Word of God. Amen? Now, I think we ought to just take a moment to give God thanks. We ought to get excited about what God has given to us and made available to us. Hallelujah. I mean, you're talking about someone who gave you something so good and so great that it keeps on giving. It's the gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, how come I'm not hearing the voice of thanksgiving going on? Amen. Give voice to your thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We're going to give him thanks until the excitement builds. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Lord. You're so good and gracious. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. I can't contain, Father, the goodness of God that you have done for me in the name of Jesus. You delivered me from death. Hallelujah. You saved my soul. You saved me from the pit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you that you're good and gracious and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him. Praise him in the house for what he's done, for who he is. Hallelujah. Get happy about Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Excellent. Clothed in majesty. Hallelujah. Let all the earth rejoice. It's a time of rejoicing. Hallelujah. Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Ramasata la mama mama mama. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you, O Most High, the great I am. We bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.